morning. We honour you, Lord, today for your presence, and that we have the privilege of meeting in this country in freedom. No one's coming banging at the door telling us we can't meet. And we thank you for, and Lord, cause us to make the most of our freedom at this opportune time, that when we can go out on the streets and no one can lock us up for doing it at the moment. We want to pray, Lord, that we will use every opportunity to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus and to make him known. Father, in the workplace and wherever we go, Lord, to make Jesus Christ known. And we just thank you, Lord. Speak to us this morning, Lord, out of your word, and teach us how to overcome through your faith, the faith that you've given to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Revelation, you can tell, well, God never called me to work in the Anglican Church. They would have kicked me out because it's very hard for me to keep to time. And I was thinking this morning, when we hit 11 o'clock, I thought, goodness, the Anglicans are going home now. They start at 10 and go home at 11, or start at 11 and go home at 12. And in fact, quite a few churches do that. But we want to squeeze the best out of the presence of God here. We want to get the best out of our time together. Why shorten it? Why not have it, as long as it's full of his presence, why not make it really excellent? So, praise you, Jesus. Now, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, which those of you who know your Bibles well will know that this is a message that Jesus gave to the seven churches. And one of the strong things that comes out of these messages to the seven churches in Revelation, which represent churches right down the history of the church, they weren't just churches that existed at the time, but they represent types of churches that are in existence today, and types of churches that have actually existed in time all the way down since Jesus went back to heaven. So there's a number of things there. And the message that Jesus has to all of his churches is, first of all, is he looks into the church and he commends the church for what it's doing. He always looks at the good, but he also corrects the things that are wrong. And he does the same with us. When I meet with the Lord, he's always telling me how much he loves me. But at the same time, he'll always very gently show me that there's something that I need to correct in my life. Perhaps a sin, or perhaps an area that I haven't really thought about before that needs correction, or something that needs to be improved on. And so the Lord speaks to us in that way. He's the greatest encourager that we have, isn't he? And I trust that you have fellowship with him, because by waiting upon God and by praying and listening to his voice, you're going to receive the greatest encouragement you could get. You won't get it anywhere else quite like that. Now, we're here to encourage one another, and we need to do that, and we need to do it more. But the greatest encourager is the Holy Spirit, and he's living in you. And when you spend time in prayer, Jesus, who is seated in heaven, is actually praying and interceding for you and whatever you're going through, and he's speaking words of comfort and words of grace and words of love to you that he wants you to receive. And he'll also work some things in you, so he also wants to correct us in certain things that we do, in behavioral things, things that we speak and things that we say that actually aren't of his spirit. In other words, he wants to transform us. He wants to change us. He wants to change us so that we become like him. That's the whole goal of the Holy Spirit, because then we're going to be set free. We're going to be living in freedom. And one of the things that Jesus commends all of these churches that are written in the book of Revelation, and we're just going to read it out, just a little section on each one. If you turn to Revelation chapter 2, you'll be glad to know I'm not doing a whole study in Revelation this morning. That's next week. Just for this morning, just to whet your appetite, it's chapter 2 and verse 7. And these are just the words where Jesus talks to the church, tells the church what's wrong, encourages the church, tells the church what's wrong, how to correct what they're doing, because he does correct us and discipline us because he loves us. And then he gives a message to each church. His message is, I want you to overcome. I want you to be a people who know how to overcome in this world. I want you to be an overcoming people. Okay? He wants us to become overcomers through his faith. And we talked about that last week. And in verse 7 it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So there's the first one. He's telling the church, which church is it? The Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. He says, to him who overcomes, if you listen, he says, listen what the Spirit is saying, and to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And in verse 11, to the church at Smyrna, and these are places, by the way, to the church at Smyrna, Jesus says this. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." So he's telling the church to overcome. In verse 17, to the church at Pergamos, that's another place, Jesus says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who," what does it say? "Overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." And then down to verse 26, we're not going to explain all this morning, this is a study all in itself, but verse 26, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." So Jesus, when he looks at your life and when he looks at us as a church and he looks at his church, let's say his church and his churches in Crawley that form one church, he's saying, "I want you to be an overcoming church." Amen. He wants his overcoming faith to work in us in such a way that we're living the overcoming life, not just as individuals, because we're more than individuals, we're part of a body. And Jesus wants an overcoming people. Would you just say that with me this morning? Very good, Marcia, thank you. An overcoming people. An overcoming people. That's the vision for the end time church. The end time church that Jesus wants is an overcoming people. Overcoming the world, overcoming the devil, overcoming every obstacle and difficulty. Okay, and God's called us for that. And then verse 5 of chapter 3, this is to the church in Sardis. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Verse 12, this is to the church in Philadelphia, which, by the way, the name Philadelphia of this church represents brotherly love. And God has a goal for us in this church to be a church of love, brotherly love. And the church of Philadelphia was commended. In fact, Jesus doesn't actually correct the church of Philadelphia. It seems that the church knew its weaknesses and knew it had to depend upon the Holy Spirit. But he commended it for its strength because they loved one another. And when Jesus walks into this church every Sunday, and he's here before we arrive, the one thing he's looking out for is that we love him and we love one another. Everything is tested on that one thing, whether we love one another. If we don't love one another, we might as well pack up and go home and go fishing or something. You want to go fishing, Sydney? So the test is that we love one another, and we're actually putting that love out there in the rest of the week. Loving one another in the week. Loving our neighbours. Loving our enemies. Loving those who do us bad. Love those who actually don't understand us. Love those who actually speak unkind things. Loving them. And loving the lost. Because the love of Jesus overcomes every obstacle. And we can love with that love. I tell you, we can. And it says, "He who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I'll write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And then the last one in verse 21 of chapter 3, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I went through a whole year when I kept hearing God speak to me. And when he was speaking to me, I kept hearing these words: "Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying." And what we need to do, we need to have ears that are tuned in to hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is saying to you, is saying to me. We need to have ears that are listening out for God, because God is speaking to us and wants us to hear his voice, so that we can live right, so that we can pray right, so that we can do the right things. Amen. It's all about hearing his voice. And in these coming weeks ahead, we're going to be looking as God permits us to, the whole thing of listening to God's voice and praying and being effective in prayer, using the faith and the fire that God's given to us. God wants us to overcome. And we've talked about the fire and the need, and I trust that you're still going to God for more of His fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, because we need His fire. We've been talking about Christ living in us, how that Christ is in me and Christ is in you and Christ is in the church and He's our victory, He's living in us. And we've talked about having the faith of the Son of God because He's living in us. And as Bernie rightly said, that, you know, the whole truth in the Bible there is that we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which we now live, we live by the faith. It says in the Greek, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the faith of Jesus Christ has been given to James and Karen here. And that's what's made them come alive. Because God gave them faith. One time they were going in this direction without Him and didn't even know about Him. The next is turn them around. He's given them faith. He's turned them around with that faith. And they're now loving Jesus. They've got a relationship with God. And I'm so excited about you being baptized next week. It's tremendous. Anyone else want to be baptized next week? Please let me know, because we're going to have a great time next week. 5 o'clock, well, 4:30 for a 5 o'clock start. 5 o'clock splash off next Sunday. It's going to be great. Just come with me to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John 5. Because the faith of the Son of God enables us to overcome. The faith of Jesus Christ enables James and Karen, in very practical, I love it because God is very practical, He's enabled them to overcome what was an impossible situation. I may have asked this before the other week, but how many of you have got, you know, humanly speaking, an impossible situation? How many of you got an impossible situation? Okay, that's at least half of us in this hall this morning have got an impossible situation. Or that, how many of you know of an impossible situation? That may not be your situation. That should be all of our hands, because around us there are definitely impossible situations. Well, guess the thing that's going to change those impossible situations. What's the thing that's going to change those impossible situations? Faith, the faith of Jesus. And the... Where is Jesus this morning?
Here.
He's here. But where is He as a person? He's in heaven. The Bible says that He's seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven, and His Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is living in us, right? So who is going to overcome on the earth?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is. But how is Jesus going to overcome on the earth?
We are.
Right? That's it. That's the whole point. We are going to overcome. And the more I meet people who are lost and in their own pit of negativity and fear and oppression and the destructive things that Satan does, the more I realize that we need that manifestation of the overcoming faith of God, the power of God, coming out of our lives to help others out of their situations. That's what Dave and the boys, the lads, did when they went down to their flat. Because they heard God speak to them and were prompted by the Holy Spirit, go down and pray for them. Dave had never met them before, but he came in, didn't he? And they talked, and then they prayed. And let the Holy Spirit come and do His work. And even their cats have got a testimony. We'll get the cats along next week. We might even baptize your cats. Because faith overcomes.
Amen.
Now, I've got a number of things that I'm praying through at the moment where I want to see God's faith overcome. And let's look at this 1 John chapter 5, and let's just read at verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves Him who begot, that means is a father, also loves Him who is begotten of Him. That means is a child or a son. By this we know that by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Wow, that sounds good, doesn't it? They're not heavy. What God commands us, what Jesus commands us in the Word, is not heavy. His commandments are releasing and actually give us freedom. In other words, everything God asks you to do, if you obey Him, you'll be blessed. If you obey him with faith, you'll be blessed. Because it says in your Bible, it says that his commandments are not heavy, burdensome. So faith has a lifting power to it that actually lifts us up. Faith it's like the law of lift when a plane goes up. Do you ever watch planes go? It never ceases to amaze me when I see planes go up. I think they're amazing things, planes. The way that they go up and they kind of just rise, don't they? Because the law of lift defeats the law of gravity. And that's the way that faith works. The law of faith, the spirit of faith inside of you, overcomes the law of gravity, the law of sin, it's called, and the law of death, and the law of negativity, and the law of the flesh, just self, seeks to pull you down. But the law of faith always will get you up. The law of faith will cause you to hear what God has to say about your situation, will enable you to see things as God sees them, and will change everything. Amen. Absolutely, in one moment, once you see things from God's perspective, everything can change. And that's why we need to listen to his voice, listen to the Spirit, and have the eye of faith. As we wait in prayer, God will show us things that we can then transfer into our lives and into the lives of others through prayer and through action. Amen. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Amen. For whatever is born of God, anyone born of God this morning? Woo-hoo! Come on, that should be every hand up. Anyone born of God this morning? That's all of us, right? We're born of God. I believe everyone here is born of God. And it says here, this is the good news for you today. It says here that everyone that is born, this is the victory that has overcome the world because you're born of God. What is it? What is it that you have that overcomes the world? No. Faith. Our faith. You're not reading your Bible, are you? You're reading out your notes. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I'm joking. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So God's faith that is put inside of us, overcomes the world. Now, what is the world? When it talks about the world, what is the world that we're talking about? Okay, this planet. What happens on this planet? Sin. Okay, we won't go all the different categories of sin, but basically sin and self represents the world without Christ. It's a horrible place. And it says here that whoever is born of God overcomes the world around us, and sometimes inside of us as well, because sometimes the world can get inside of you and you have to overcome some things there in your thinking and so on, and attitudes. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The faith of Jesus Christ that he's given to you overcomes the world in its greed for money, ambition, in sin, in all kinds of different terrible, horrible sins, in strife. Faith overcomes all of that stuff. And if you multiply that out as in the church, if we are an overcoming people, the world will sit up and take notice. That's why even a small bunch of people walking through a town centre with a cross and stopping and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ has an impact. Has quite an impact. Even the man that told me to yesterday had an impact. Because God always has the final say. So I normally always have the final say. Not to be funny or clever, but I just said to him, "Sir, Jesus died for you." And that's all that God gave me to say, and I walked on. And I know that those words, those eternal words of faith, because that man won't be able to shake those words off. They're eternal words that were spoken to that man's life. He'll go home. I hope he didn't sleep last night. I hope he had a rotten night's sleep. I hope he won't sleep until he realizes that Jesus Christ, the Lord of love, the Lord of the universe, died for him. And if you multiply this out, when we're walking in faith, I just use it as an example, but when we go out together as a team of people, it's much better than one or two or three. And God help us to become an overcoming people in every way. And it says here, verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? See, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's living in you, you will not allow your circumstances to overcome you.
Amen.
Amen. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, he's the Son of God and he's living in you, your circumstances can't defeat you.
Amen.
It's all down. God said to me one day when I woke up, I was really worried and concerned about lots of different things, as sometimes we are. And he said to me, the trouble, Paul, is this is a faith issue. I said, no, it's not, Lord. It's this problem. It's that person. I went on my long list about the church and people and things. And then he said to me, your problem is a faith problem. It's a faith issue. And he took me to this and he said, if you believe who I am and who I am in this church and who I am in you, then you'll overcome.
Amen.
And you'll see an overcoming people. Amen. And it doesn't matter what happens, God will bring us through. I know a lot of you are going through a lot of things, so I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but in one sense, it matters not what you go through. It matters who's living in you.
Amen.
And that you believe absolutely in him, because he will enable you to overcome. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go on and read verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given us his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has
life.
So let's say that together, shall we? He who has the Son has
life.
Life, that's it. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you that who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's the eternal life that overcomes. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
And he immediately goes on, and just look at the next two verses, verses 14 and 15 of 1 John chapter 5. Now this is the confidence. See, overcoming faith puts confidence in you. And enables you to face your storm, enables you to stand up like Jesus did in the boat, even though the waves were coming in and the disciples were, well, they thought they'd had it actually. They were overwhelmed. But Jesus knew he wasn't overwhelmed because his faith was operating. And in fact, he'd been asleep, of all things. Careless thing to do. So relaxed in the Father's love, he knew that he'd get to the other side. And in the same way this morning, whatever you're going through, Jesus is with you, he's living in you, and he's already determined, I will get you to the other side. I will get you to the other side. I will get you to the other side. He's already decreed it, and he's living in your life. And therefore, your circumstances, no matter how overwhelmed you may personally feel this morning, thank goodness that there's someone bigger living inside of you, and his name is Jesus. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is in you. And the Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And we have to believe, need to believe, and listen to God and get his word. We have to understand that God wants us to exercise this faith he's given to us in order to get the breakthrough. It won't happen by moaning and complaining about your problem. It won't happen by complaining to your wife about that person that said this or that person that said that. It won't happen by you dwelling upon all the negative facts. You'll get the breakthrough when you start focusing back on Jesus again and begin to declare his word, because God has something to say about everything, and start speaking his word about your finances, about your relationships, about your job, about your neighbours. When you start speaking what God says, I've found that things really begin to change. And it's called prayer, talking to God and listening to the Lord. And it says this, verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we need to know his will. And that's why we encourage people in the church here to read your Bible. Do you remember that old chorus, read your Bible and pray every day? I remember that I was brought up in Sunday school with that song. I won't sing it to you, but read your Bible and pray every day. Read the Word. Get to know the Bible, because if you get to know the Word, you'll get to know the Word, which is Jesus. And the more you read the Bible with faith, he'll feed you the Word of God, and you'll get to know him. And you'll get to know his will. That's the whole point of reading it. Get to know him and get to know his will.
Amen.
And it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's confidence. Confidence that God hears us when we cry to him. He hears us when we speak to him. He hears us when we declare his word over our circumstances and situations. And he says, and John says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And you're probably thinking this morning, yeah, but Paul, you don't understand. You know, that my problems, I could list them. They're as long as two pages on both sides, and nothing has changed. But this, the Bible says here, that when you go to God, he already knows about those things, so you don't even have to tell him about those things. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, so we need to find out what his will is, and then speak his will over your situation. If you're facing a mountain, the Bible says, or God says, speak to the mountain and command it to be removed. Removed. Command the mountain to be moved out of the way. Don't pray about the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the obstacle. Speak to that thing that is standing in your way and command it to move. And don't command it in your name. Command it to go in the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus in the spiritual realm breaks powers and principalities. And the more I pray for us as a people, the more I go on, the more I realize that behind every difficulty there's a spirit. I don't see demons in everything, but I know that behind lots of situations there are demons and demonic spirits that are on assignments to stop people from developing in their walk with God, to stop them from believing, to stop them from breaking through, to hinder the church from becoming the church it needs to be. And the more that we wake up to this, that we're dealing with spirits, demonic spirits that are working in the atmosphere and working in people's lives, then we're going to be able to pray better about it. If we understand, oh, that was a spirit just doing that. That's just a small thing to deal with. If you pray in the name of Jesus, you can break the power of that thing over that person's life or over your situation if you recognize where it's come from. That's why we need to listen to God. Let him speak to us and show us. It may not be a spirit, but quite often it is. There's something got in there that's caused a real problem. And so we need to speak God's word, take authority over the devil, take the authority over the mountain, the obstacle, and then declare God's word, God's truth over that situation. And call those things that are not at the moment as though they were. Begin to see that person completely restored in their walk with God. Begin to see that situation completely restored as God intended it to be. Begin to speak it. Don't just think it. Speak it out. Pray it out. Pray. Find scriptures that really describe and decree those things that God wants to happen. Is this making sense? If you need a marriage partner, don't just think, well, God will send the right one at the right moment. Be active in your faith and hear from God about it and then start speaking it into being. If you know you need to be married, start activating your faith. Be active in your faith in God. Listen to what he says and then start speaking the word of God over that situation. Because it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now that's confidence. To know that you've got something before you've got it. To know that you've got something before you've got it. Do you remember I told you a story a few weeks ago about when Claire and I first moved into our first real home that was ours? Do you remember God spoke to me, gave me a dream, and won't go through the whole thing again, but he spoke a word and then we stepped into it. And I knew it was our house before it was our house. I knew it was our house when we were being told, well, it's all gone through, you can't have it. Sorry. Even the owner told us we couldn't have it. But God said, this is your house. And faith claimed the house, and it took quite a number of months, before the house became ours. That's confidence. When God speaks to you, you'll be confident. When you pray with confidence before God and bring your petitions, that's your request to God, and start speaking the word of God over those situations that are part of your life that need to change, or perhaps someone else's, you will find that God and the Holy Spirit will begin to release his power through your faith. Come with me just before I finish, and we're going to wrap this up shortly. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Is anyone getting something out of this morning?
Yes.
Faith that overcomes. Faith that overcomes. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. And it says here, likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weaknesses. Anyone here ever feel weak? All the time, okay. That's a good thing. It's good to feel weak and to know your weakness, because in our weakness we'll really depend upon the Holy Spirit who's living in us. That's the whole point, that we walk in humility with God. And it says the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Anyone feel like that sometimes? Don't know quite how to pray about things. Sometimes when you go to pray, you feel so weak. Do you ever have that when you go to pray and you're all ready to go and you just kind of, it's just like everything grinds to a halt. What is that? Who's trying to stop you from praying? We need to wake up that the devil wants to stop us from praying and deal with that thing that's trying to stop us from being in faith and prayer. The Holy Spirit comes in our weakness and will aid us to help us so that we know what to pray. And the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is groaning over you. Not moaning about you, he's groaning. He's actually feeling things about what's going on in your life, and he is interceding on your behalf. He's praying for you. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to God's will. Now this is for many of you here today. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are the called according to his purpose. This word is saying to, I know quite a number of people here in the church, this is a real word for us right now. That whatever you're going through, God says, or the word of God says here, we know that all things, just say all things. All things work together for good. Now you might not see that at the moment. You think, well, this is working actually for bad. Because things seem to be getting worse, not better. But God says, all things work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God this morning?
Yes.
Of course we do. And to those who are the called according to his purpose. God has a very clear purpose for your life. And he will not allow anything in your life to be destroyed. He is for you.
Amen.
Now, sometimes the devil comes against us. But if you keep looking to God in the way that we're talking about this morning and use faith, the faith that God's given to you, you will overcome. And the word says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, what is his purpose? Well, he's got specific things for each one of us to do, that's for sure. But part of his purpose is that he wants to make us to be like Christ. He wants to form Christ in us. And I guarantee in your situation and your circumstance, and mine too, is God is forming Christ in us through the things that we're going through. He's changing us to be like Jesus. He's actually changing our character. He's actually releasing his faith in us so that we're being changed, transformed to be more like Jesus. That sounds good to me. And this is God's goal. It says, for whom he foreknew, so he knew you before you were born. God knew you before you were even thought of. He knew all about you. He'd thought of you. He says, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, to become like Jesus. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, handpicked. And those he called, those he also justified. That means set them free from sin. And those he justified, these he also glorified.
Amen.
That means to share in his glory. So if you imagine this morning, God is up here in heaven, but God is actually in eternity. There's no beginning and no end. And here you are, say the keyboard is your life. Your life is a little part in eternity. And God saw you before you came, before you were even born as a person, and he sees where you'll end, and then he'll call you home. But God's bigger than it. And it says that he predestined, he called you, he justified you, and he glorified you. He actually sees you this morning up in heaven. He actually sees the beginning from the end. So he sees right the way through your life, and he sees you reigning with him in heaven, where he is in glory. And he wants to share his glory with you now on this earth. Is this making sense? What should we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for you this morning. God's for you, Mark and Michelle. God's for you, Les. God's for you, Jim and Annie. God's for you, Scotty. God's for each one of us this morning, every single one of us. God's for you, Karen and James. I was going to say David. I love that, no fear. That's brilliant. God's for you. He's not against you. And listen to this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? Did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, whatever you're going through right now, right in this season, right today, he took it on the cross for you. He overcame your problem on the cross. See, we tend to think Jesus took our sins on the cross. Well, he did. But he didn't just take our sins, but he took all of those things that you're struggling with the world today. Because we're in the world. There's no doubt about that. We are in the world, but we're not of it. And the things that we face today, the Bible says, if we've been learning this morning, that faith, the faith of God enables us to overcome the world, doesn't it? And when Jesus died on the cross, he overcame not just your sin, but he overcame the world for you on the cross. So that means whatever you're going through today, Jesus has already overcome it for you in his body, in his sacrifice on the cross. And when he rose again from the dead, he rose with resurrection power so that he could give his resurrection power to you to release faith inside of you so that you could have victory, his victory in your life and begin to see your circumstances completely change around. Have you noticed it doesn't happen in 1 minute? No. Not even in two. Sometimes it takes a process of time, sometimes many years for some things. But faith will see you through. God's faith will see you through. And I just want to encourage you this morning that the Lord will enable you to overcome. The Lord is for you. He's not against you. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justified you. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God. He also makes intercession for you. He is interceding for you this morning, praying for you. And he's praying truth, he's praying victory over your life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Do you think the Apostle Paul had a bad time, had a hard life? Do you think it was tough for him when he was imprisoned, when he was beaten, left for dead at least 3 times? Probably did die, actually. When he was stoned and he suddenly came back to life again when people prayed for him. Do you think he knew what it was to, you know, when he was shipwrecked, when he was fasting often, and sometimes that was enforced because he actually had no food when he was on his missionary journeys? Do you think it was easy just to have a snake bite in the middle of Malta when he was there? Paul knew what he was talking about when he wrote this letter to the Roman Christians. And he was very, very well qualified to say, so he wasn't a man having a pipe dream here. He wasn't a man who was so heavenly minded he didn't have his feet on the earth. He had his feet on the earth all right. And he knew the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he knew that the faith of the Son of God was living in him and enabled him to overcome at every point. My brothers and sisters this morning, we are overcomers. I'm looking at a church this morning of overcomers. Yes. You are an overcomer this morning. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself, is praying for you and interceding that you will overcome through his faith. And you'll overcome for others too. If you're in a place of victory and you've got nothing that you're dealing with in your life, praise God for that, then you need to get in with others then and start seeing their breakthroughs come as well. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing will. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Just say that with me and we're going to finish with this. Say,
I am
more than
a
conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through him who loves you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the Lord. You're more than a conqueror. You know what a conqueror? A conqueror is someone who wins the battle by fighting. So more than a conqueror is someone who wins the battle by not fighting at all. Well, that got you thinking, didn't it? More than a conqueror is someone who wins the battle by enforcing the victory that Jesus Christ won for us on the cross. We don't have to fight in that sense. Jesus has already done it for us. We need to fight with faith, but that faith actually is the faith of Jesus that overcomes Satan and the devil. So this morning, you are more than a conqueror. And I'm just going to pray. We're going to pray together now that the Lord right now, that right this morning, the Holy Spirit will release. I'd just like us to link hands together and pray, because the Lord really, really wants to release the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Christ, into your life afresh today, and to enable you to overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Just begin to pray in tongues, if you can pray in tongues, or pray in English. If you don't pray in tongues yet, just pray in English. Just begin to thank God. Thank God for faith this morning. Thank the Lord for the faith of the Son of God. Thank the Lord this morning for the Holy Spirit who overcomes. He's called you to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. He's called you to be more than a conqueror through him who loves you this morning. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Over and above. Hallelujah. Shikadabara sabraba tamanaba sobrato. Rabba sikedidi laba probo sobromo shigedea. Zabaraba nama sabrana. Rebekidia sabara. Shikedela yadaba saba nabandide. Rabba sabrane laba probo soroboto. Ramakama sikedea. Shikedela yaba sama. Shikeda. Oh, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you today, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Thank you that you've loved us, Lord, by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. Thank you, Lord, today we tap into you, Lord. We draw near to you. We lay hold of you, Lord, afresh this morning. We thank you for faith that overcomes the world. We thank you that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We thank you, Lord, that you overcame every obstacle at the cross. Whatever we face today, Lord Jesus, you've already overcome it for us. Teach us how to live with overcoming faith, Lord. Teach us how to pray, Lord. Teach us how to command the mountains to move. How to speak to those things that have got in the way. And command them to move and then take action, Lord. To be active in our steps of faith, Lord. And teach us how to pray, Father. Teach us how to pray your word over our own lives, over our families, Lord. Over our friends, over the church, Lord. Over the workplace, Lord, over where you send us, Lord, and different things that happen. Teach us how to pray, Lord, we pray. Teach us how to pray your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come. Yes, Lord. Your will be done, Lord. Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Overcoming faith, Lord. Now, I encourage you this morning, just before we finish, if you have a mountain in front of you, speak to the mountain. We don't need to all know what your mountain is, but just speak to the mountain. You point to the mountain, you say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be moved and to be thrown into the sea. Speak to the mountain. Yes.